And now it's time for Letters from Listeners. It's the P1's opportunity to ask the Musers. Right here on Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket.
Normally in this segment, we start off with sports feedback, and then we get into non-sports topics. But today, we're going to mix it up a little bit. We're going to start with non-sports, and then segue into sports.
See, we're always mixing it up. We're always reinventing.
Yes, and we do this to fight Alzheimer's, mix up the routine a little bit, right?
Isn't it too early to start fighting Alzheimer's?
Never too early.
Okay. Remember that, kids.
Our first letter from a listener is from P1 Tom. He asks a very personal question, but I, for one, have the courage to answer. I would like to hear a discussion about what you guys do while sitting on the toilet.
Oh, Lord.
Do you read? If so, what do you read? Sports-related books, magazines, newspapers, Reader's Digest? Do you use your phone to tweet or get on Facebook or check your Top Shot moments? Do you watch TV? Do you have one in there? Do you stream video? Do you meditate? Do you do a crossword puzzle? I thought it would be interesting to hear what everyone does. Well, Tom, I, for one, have the courage to answer you, and I read. I have a stack of magazines in my preferred chamber, and it's usually a cycling magazine or Outside, which I subscribe to, as well as some other magazines with similar titles. Mm-hmm. So that is usually a moment for me to read, and it's almost always a magazine.
I used to do that. I think I just try to get it over with as soon as possible now and not read or anything else.
You just put your head down and get to work?
Yeah, and just try to get through it. And I don't think it's good for you to stay there for a long time.
I think you're right about that. You shouldn't sit there for 15 minutes.
No. And if you're only there for 3 or 4, what are you really going to accomplish? It does bring up the question, if you're on the phone and you've really got to go, do you go into the chamber and do that while on the phone?
I think that's rude.
You remember that was a deal like in the 80s. It seemed like they would put phones in.
Right. The rich people. Yeah. Or a nice hotel room.
In the chamber.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
What's the point of that?
Just...
Who wants to talk to a person whose sentences are punctuated with grunts and screams?
Mm-hmm. Or explosions.
Gordon, do you have the courage to answer, Tom?
No, that's a vulgar question and doesn't deserve an answer.
Okay.
All right, we're just going to assume that you sit there with explosions and crying.
Yep. And phones, 2 phones up to each ear.
All right, P1 Kevin, I have a theory about the trend you guys were discussing about defense attorney parents. How back in the day, our parents always sided with the teachers or the neighbors, and today, parents always side with the kids. Kevin's theory is that so many of the parents in the early part of last century had military service in their background, especially the dads. Military service was viewed as something to be proud of, and I think that created the culture of valuing discipline and the good of the collective group. Beginning in the 60s, military service began to decline. The values started to change with it. Individual freedom, free thought, and the good of the individual over the good of the group are now what is valued by culture. That's not a bad theory, because most dads, mine included, that I grew up with, were in the military.
Yeah.
And they brought that sense of order and discipline. And
deference to authority.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, our house was a lot like the U.S. Marine Corps, which dad was a Marine.
Both of you had military dads.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. And look how I turned out. Better than everyone.
P1 Joel. Play.
You heard it here first, man.
By the way, I think I coined the phrase defense attorney parent.
I'll give you credit for that, sure.
All right, yeah.
Thank you
credit for such a
groundbreaking phrase.
It is. It's a good term.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, it's a good term.
Uh-huh.
All right, P1 Joel, the recent segment you did about people looking older back in the day compared to now, he's got a bunch of reasons as to why. Number one, divorce. What have divorce rates done since the 1950s? People have to go back out onto the market more often, so they want to look better.
Okay.
Number two, delayed family formation. Kids can be the best, but they can also take it out of you and force you to grow up. That can leave one worn with the cares and responsibilities of living. Used to start raising kids at 22. These days, it's 32 or later. Possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Number three, Madison Avenue. You guys touched on this one. Youth cells.
You bet.
Number four, HD. Higher resolution images affect our sense of self, too. The smartphones we all carry show photos at monster resolution relative to the 1950s TV. Big screen TVs today put more of an emphasis on appearance.
Yeah, solid theories there.
Yeah, there's something to the idea that you never get a good picture of what you look like until you're photographed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, somehow the mirror seems more forgiving.
Yeah.
Like, I'll think, oh, yeah, I look okay. In the mirror, I got ready. And then you go to some event, you get photographed, and you look at the photograph. Oh, that's the way I look?
Right.
What is it with that?
I don't know.
He says, number five, fashion. Look at the clothing, especially beachwear from the 50s. Compare it to today. Better get in shape to pull off some of this stuff. Six, geography. Think about the mass migration in the U.S. during our lifetimes from the Northeast and Midwest to the South and Southwest. It's sunny here for months. Ever notice a difference just walking around the Southwest versus the upper Midwest?
Hmm.
Going outside more in modern fashion designed for the heat motivates fitness.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we have all this sunblock with SPF 5000 to help us from aging.
Yeah, I think that's been a factor for sure.
All right, and then this odd email from P1 Lemon Legs Fart Basket.
Hold on. What was just said on the air? What is that person's name again?
P1 Lemon Legs Fart Basket. He says, I have a request. I need for the musers to do at least one segment, but it could be as many as four.
Whoa.
On the utter ridiculousness that is Steven Seagal.
Yes.
You can start by looking at one of the many compilations on YouTube of this weird guy. The spaghetti arm girly running style needs to be discussed. You'll also find his different accents, Russian, Jamaican, etc. They must be discussed. The musers have been too silent for too long on this very important subject. I look forward to hearing you expose him for the world to see.
I've gone down the Steven Seagal rabbit hole many times.
You threatened to do a segment on him before, and we never have.
Jake and I are big Steven Seagal buddies.
Truthers.
Yes, because he's so ridiculous, and you got to see how bad his movies are. I mean, like, he had a couple of decent ones, you know, that started his career. But then now he just churns out these horrible, horrible movies, and he makes like three a year, releases them on his own label, and they're real big in, I think, Asia. I don't know if he has much of a U.S. following. And it is so low effort. Now in his movies, Steven Seagal has gotten heavier as he's gotten older, but he's so low effort now, he has shot multiple movies in which he is always sitting down.
Really?
He never stands up. And his lines are just half-assed delivered, and he's real into blues music, and he's a guitar collector and stuff. But somewhere along the line, he got the idea that he is a blues musician from the 1930s, and he talks like one.
Oh, no.
Huh.
So he's supposed to be Steven Seagal's special ops guy, but he's talking as if he's Robert Johnson who just crawled off the crossroads. It's so stupid.
I'm not sure I've ever seen a Steven Seagal movie.
I don't know if I have either.
Well, you owe it to yourself to check out.
Maybe this weekend I'll watch one.
Yeah, I need to send you a video of, there's a podcast called C-Town, and C stands for a word I can't say here, but they dissect a Steven Seagal movie that's just so hilarious. It's great.
All right, now to a couple of sports letters that we got from listeners regarding the Rangers. And how long it's going to be until they're good again. P1 Nick took the Astros about three seasons from the time the young core came together to make a playoff run. Does this Rangers rebuild have a young core as good as Correa, Altuve, Bregman, and Springer?
Not seeing it.
I don't think so. It's also mathematically dumb to build a team with singles hitters. That requires sequencing of hits to score runs, which is harder to do compared to scoring with power. I don't know. I think it's going to be years and years until the Rangers make a playoff run.
Could be.
And we got this on much of our Mavericks talk the last couple of days from P1 Mark. You know, I have a, it's a very loose theory that a coach that wins a championship gets a 10-year exemption afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mark brings up Rick Carlisle's 10 years and the problems with this team, and he points to coaching. He says, defense, isn't that an area more than any other that's a result of coaching? How many years have we lamented the terrible Mavericks defense, but the team keeps bringing in new players, yet they never seem to get much better defensively?
Mm-hmm.
Porzingis. Craig, you mentioned his lack of inside play and wondering if the problem was him or with Carlisle. Here's my take. It's on Carlisle either way. Either he's unable or unwilling to play KP in a way that maximizes his impact, or he's allowing the player to dictate his own style of play to the team's detriment. He says, let's see what happens with this playoff run, but if it's another one and done, the club should tell Rick, thank you for your service. We're going in a different direction now. His 10-year championship exemption officially ends this year.
Sure enough, yeah, we're at 10 years.
Mm-hmm. We're almost at the exact 10-year anniversary of the last playoff series they won, which was the championship in 2011.
Wow.
All right, thank you to all the listeners for their letters.